Next Outdoor Radio, a monthly feature on VPR where we take you outside to learn about the natural world with biologists Kent McFarland and Sarah Zahendra from the Vermont Center for Eco Studies. Today they take us up the gondola to the top of Mount Mansfield.
Well, Kent, it's that time of year when a lot of people are grabbing ski lifts and going to the top of mountains.
Today we're lucky, we're at Stowe Mountain Resort and we're jumping on the gondola and headed up the mountain.
And it looks like it's beautiful up there.
Sky's clear.
Sun is shining.
I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
We're biologists with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies. Welcome to Outdoor Radio.
So one of the things that I'm looking at as we are starting on our way up is a bunch of hardwood trees without any leaves.
Yeah, down here at the bottom, we're at, you know, 1,500 feet elevation or so. We're in the northern hardwoods. Well, the trees have all lost their leaves. This forest is kind of naked, but up ahead, we're going to get into the evergreen forest. We're literally going to go northward by going upward.
So we're changing climate zones, and one of the things I'm noticing, if I look way up the mountaintop, I can see that there are a lot more evergreens.
Yeah, this time of year, it's really obvious. By the time we get up to the top, we're going to go about 2,000 feet in elevation. It's going to drop about 10, 11 degrees, and that's a big deal for the trees.
Why is it such a big deal?
Well, here's the battle zone. The evergreen and the hardwood trees are battling for life right here. And as we go up higher, it's going to be more and more evergreen and the hardwoods are dropping out. And it really is temperature related and it's probably the length of the growing season. Down low, we got a nice long growing season for the hardwood trees to leaf out, get all that energy from the sun, drop their leaves and go back dormant. Versus as we go up higher and higher, that growing season is going to get shorter and shorter and colder and colder. The evergreens take over and they can outcompete the hardwoods because they're not dropping their leaves. They're keeping their needles on year-round.
Now, we're almost at the top, and it's almost completely evergreen trees.
Yeah, now we're into what's called the montane fir forest. This is all balsam fir trees with some red spruce. And if you look way up above us, up on the cliffs, even higher up, near the top of Mount Mansfield, it's just rock and snow. There's no trees up there. It's too cold up there. And the conditions are too rough with wind and rime ice. It's the kind of ice that forms spontaneously right on the trees and kills them back. It kind of grinds their leaves off of them. So we're going to head down this snowshoe trail, get in the woods a little bit deeper, get a real good feel for this montane fir forest.
I have to admit, Kent, though it is cold, one of my favorite things about this atmosphere, this particular habitat, is how quiet it is in the wintertime.
It's awesome, isn't it? I mean, look at how we're deep in this montane fir forest, and the trees are really close together, and they're covered in snow. I mean, they look like snowmen, and the snow's just hanging in, on all these branches, and it just deadens the sound.
It's beautiful, and sound is muffled, and it's really a nice day.
We're at about 3,700 feet elevation now. We're almost up over into the alpine zone on Mount Mansfield. Not quite. We're still in a forest. The trees are still pretty tall. They're, three times the height of me. Seven times the height of you.
Right.
And what's really great to see all the snow hanging on them is this conical shape of these trees, this great adaptation for heavy snow loading.
And one of the other adaptations they have is you can see all of this snow, which has got to be really heavy, on top of the branches. And these branches, they're sort of rubbery.
Exactly.
And they've got give to them, so they don't snap when
they have
all that snow.
They're just splayed downward. And that's actually one thing we have to be careful with up here. Bend down here and just look underneath this understory.
Yeah.
Look how the snow dips down near the trunk. It's like a well.
Oh, I can see it.
Right? Spruce traps, they call them.
Yeah.
Those spruce branches are bent down underneath the snow right there. You can get down in there and get your snowshoe wedged under them, and then you're stuck.
So it's like the La Brea tar pits of the Northeast.
Exactly. But we don't want to find you 10,000 years from now.
Right.
Let's look at this fir tree right here.
Oh, wait. I want to look at the needles because the needles are some of my favorite things.
We keep saying evergreen trees, right?
Evergreen is a catch-all for any sort of tree that keeps its leaves during the wintertime.
Keeps its needles
And
on,
what we're looking at is red spruce and then...
balsam fir.
My favorite tree because it's basically the Christmas
tree.
Well,
here, look. Look closely at these needles and... the great adaptation these things have in order to survive a winter, which, believe it or not, is kind of dry out here.
I believe it.
They've got really waxy coatings on them, and that keeps them from losing a lot of water out of their system to the atmosphere.
When it's dry and cold like this.
Not all is well with their health all the time. And in fact, in the 1970s and into the 80s, red spruce trees, they were dying back up here at high elevations.
And one of the ways they noticed this in the first place is that the tips of them will start to turn red.
There was a big concern about acid rain or acid precipitation.
Right.
This acid precipitation could come in the form of rain.
Mist.
Mist from the clouds.
Definitely.
How many times you look up at the mountains and they're in the clouds?
You can't
see them. They're being bathed in water
right.
that is quite acidic at times.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the snow is acidic. So all these forms have a lot of acid. You know, we talk about acid precipitation potentially killing the trees.
Right.
You look around, look, there's a really big dead tree right there, a
yep.
big snag right,
right
there.
Right in front of us.
There's a lot of dead stuff up here.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think, like, oh, gosh, it's the acid precipitation. But you get these things that are called fur waves. And I know that warms you up because you think about the ocean and warmth.
Exactly.
But it's not a warm phenomenon. What happens with these fir trees is they get this heavy snow load that you see in front of us on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring in a wind event. You get a nor'easter that comes screaming in here. These trees start rocking back and forth a lot.
Well, so, but not all the trees start rocking back and forth. You've got to think about the trees that are on the edge or on the leeward side.
Or the tallest.
Where the wind is coming from.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are most susceptible.
And the oldest ones that are the tallest, right?
Right.
If we didn't have several feet of snow below our feet right here, and mm-hmm. we could look at the soil, we're talking about soil that's like less than 6 inches deep before it gets to rock.
And it's not very nutritious soil.
All their fine rootlets underneath that are rubbing against rocks and everything start breaking over time. And by the time they're 80 years old, they've been rocking so much, they die standing. So that big snag of a fir right there probably rocked its life away, literally. Why are they called fir waves? The oldest trees are sort of in the front. If you think of time-lapse photography of the mountainside, you'd see these old trees dying as a wave across the mountainside over time. So every year, maybe another 10 feet of trees will die. And the young trees that are in the understory behind them start growing up behind them. And so if you took 50 years of time-lapse photography of the mountainside, you'd see these little areas of fir trees moving across, dying and growing up. These slow-motion fir waves. Only happens in a couple of places. Right here in the Northeast and in Japan. That's it in the world, these fir waves. A really cool phenomena. You know, I love being up here in the mountains, Sarah.
It's beautiful out here, but I'm starting to get a little bit cold, so I think it's time we go inside and maybe get some hot chocolate.
I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra. Thanks for joining us on this month's High Elevation Adventure on Outdoor Radio.
You can learn a lot more about mountainside trees at vpr.net. Outdoor Radio is produced in partnership with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies in Norwich, Vermont, with support from the Vermont Community Foundation and the VPR Journalism Fund.